This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
...9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville and Hillsboro. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield, and by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Championship Saturday.
Yep, nothing like it.
Can't beat it.
Usually it's a pretty good night of basketball, and we've got championship games from the Macoupin County Tournament. We also have some final day action from the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. So we have basketball beginning about 4 o'clock this afternoon, and will take us through the evening here on WSMI FM 106.
Well, the Hillsboro-Greenville broadcast, that's for fifth place at the Litchfield Invitational. That'll be live at 4 o'clock on FM 106. Then live coverage from the 100th Macoupin County Tournament picks up at 6:30 with the girls' championship between Southwestern and Gillespie. The boys' title game will follow with Southwestern taking on North Mac, and then we will finish tonight with the third-place game from Litchfield with Nokomis and Taylorville. So, really,
Civic Memorial,
yes. Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. Taylorville's playing for the title against Mount Zion. So, Nokomis and Civic Memorial at 9:30 for third place. All four of those games have the potential to be dynamic.
Oh, yeah. We've got a good night of basketball, I rather suspect. And that's what you want on championship night and the final night of the Litchfield Invitational Tournament as well. And then the title game at Litchfield will have Mount Zion, which upset Civic Memorial last night by 5 points. They were the number 5 seed. They knocked off the number 1 seed.
So, reigning champions.
Yeah, defending champions. And I tell you what, Mount Zion's going to be tough to beat. Man, can they shoot.
They've also got the reigning MVP back on their team.
Yeah, they do. and he was evident last night in the performance and had way over 20 points and tell you, Civic Memorial could get close but just couldn't close in. And Mount Zion did a good job of moving the basketball. And should be a good title game tonight at Litchfield.
The CM boys weren't planning on playing for third.
No, they weren't.
The CM girls certainly weren't planning on playing for third over at Highland, but that is the case for both. Last night at the 100th Macoupin County Tournament on boys semifinal night, and Terry, you've said it for years, that Friday night at Macoupin County, those semifinals can produce some of the best games of the tournament. And last night, it did not disappoint. Yeah. Wasn't the game we thought necessarily, but boy, oh boy, Southwestern and Carlinville go to overtime. The Birds win it 48-40, and Carlinville tied it at the end of the first quarter, did not trail again until overtime. Had a chance. Bradley Roper had a great look at a three, and the angle I was at, I was looking right down at it, and as soon as that left his hand, I thought, oh, that's in. Yeah. I mean, it looked great off of his hand. It was pure, just a tick long.
But, oh, no, sorry.
Went to overtime, and the Birds, they pulled away in the OT. Carlinville did not have a field goal in the extra session, and the foul line was costly. They were just 3 of 8 in the money quarter from the free throw line when they were playing with the lead.
Oh, my, yeah. Free throw shooting wins you the ball games.
Free throws for Carlinville boys last night crushed the Carlinville girls the night before in their semifinal loss to Southwestern. Then in the second semifinal last night, North Mac cruised past Staunton 63-45. And really, that final score, it wasn't that close. North Mac was in control of that game. They basically came out and punched Staunton right in the mouth in the opening minutes, and the Bulldogs could not recover.
T.J. Wilson, when he was at Girard and now at North Mac, this has been a good week for him, generally, this time of the season. And Girard has been was competitive for years. North Mac's been competitive for years. And they seem to rise to the occasion. And, of course, they're on their home floor, which never hurts anything. So
they're going to be a tough out.
They're going to be a tough out. Should be a terrific game between Southwestern and North Mac tonight in the championship boys game at Macoupin County. So
As we look at the girls' game, this is, in a lot of ways, the classic girls game for Macoupin County. Think about Southwestern. You think about Gillespie. They have dominated this tournament yes. over the years. I think I had the stat the other day. They at one point, they won every county from 94 through 2007. Yeah. It was either Gillespie or Southwestern.
Yeah, yeah. They've got a legacy, basically, that they've built at the Macoupin County tournament. So, and they're going to go at it again. So Southwestern Gillespie should be a heck of a matchup tonight. And, that's all you can ask for is a good matchup, and should be a good crowd on hand, and pack the place, spend a few bucks and come watch the kids play.
Absolutely. They will start at noon today at the Macoupin County Tournament on the South Campus in Girard at North Mac High. The girls' fifth place game starts today at noon. Staunton takes on North Mac. Staunton seated second, mm-hmm. playing for fifth.
Wow.
The boys' fifth-place game at 1:30 has Mount Olive taking on Gillespie. Gillespie beat Bunker Hill last night, 54-43. That was an elimination game. The loser was out, so the Minutemen are done. Gillespie into the fifth-place game. The girls' third-place game at 3 o'clock has top-seeded Carletonville and sixth-seeded Bunker Hill. The boys' third-place game at 4:30 will pit Carletonville against Staunton. And then, as we talked about, our girls' championship and boys' championship will follow. And in that boys' third-place game, it'll be interesting. Carletonville and Staunton, neither one of them necessarily wants to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, Carletonville was a tick away from playing for the title, and Staunton certainly coming into the week was basically championship, not necessarily bust, but they wanted to be in that title game.
Sometimes it takes a quarter to kind of get yourself into the mode of playing it for, in that third place game. So they'll play hard, though.
Oh, they'll play hard, yeah, but yeah. They'll be... It's always
slightly disappointed.
The third place game, no matter the tournament, always, unless it's a state tournament, always has a little different feel to it because, it's not the game you wanted to be.
Well, and at the state tournament, you still have a chance to win, to go out and end the season on a winning note if you win the third place game, like Macomas did back in, 2013 or
something like that.
Yeah. Evan Huber hit the winning shot there at the buzzer.
The Southwestern Piasaw Birds will be looking for their second consecutive county championship tonight, and their head coach, Jason Darr, joins us on the phone right now. Coach, good morning, sir. How's the workout going this morning?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. We've had kids in the gym. We're trying to get ready to play a competitive game tonight. So hopefully we can get these guys kind of back on track, and we'll see what happens.
It's always good on Saturday, on days when there's no school, to get the kids out and get them active.
Yeah, that's exactly why we do this. Try to get them out of bed and get the blood pumping a little bit. They might go home this afternoon and take a little nap and get ready because you're playing a championship game and it gets a little bit late there on Saturday evening. So hopefully we're doing the right thing, getting them out here and getting them going early on.
And Jason, once you played last night, so you have just a few hours to tweak anything so that nothing new major going to be implemented by the Birds tonight. You basically are going to have to play Southwestern basketball and hope to come out on top.
Yeah, I'm trying to deal with what got you here, in these types of games. So I think North Mac probably going to do the same thing. So, you look at the other team a little bit. I didn't sleep a whole lot last night. But, you kind of take a look at what they're doing and try to give your kids an advantage, maybe on the defensive end and look at some of the offensive advantages you can get. And, we kind of share that with the kids and we go into the game and it comes down to, we got to make shots. We got to execute offense. We've got to be, very physical on the defensive end and really want to be down there playing hard. And, the team that does that usually comes out on top, guys.
Jason, that was a crazy semifinal game you had last night. You survived in advance. And the radio safe version, what was going through your mind when Briley Roper let that three go at the end of the fourth quarter?
I want to see that open. How did he get that wide open?
Yeah.
We had a little miscommunication or something there because, we definitely should not have gave up that good of a shot in 4 seconds of a full court dribble. But anyway, we did, and it's hard to make that kind of shot. I was also thinking about that's exactly where the Moss kid was standing about a week ago when he hit his too. So against Greenville, but it didn't go. Things happen for a reason, and our kids kind of grinded that game out. We talked to them a lot about playing on the defensive end because there's nights, especially with this kind of team that we have, when you don't shoot it well, you're going to have to grind it out on defense and get things done on the defensive end. And, you know, our kids have did that a couple times this year. We've had a couple games like that. And so, you know, they're used to playing like that at times and having to really grind it out when things just aren't falling.
And on a night where our shots weren't falling, Caleb Robinson stepped up in a big way offensively for you.
Yeah, he was huge. We just talked about that this morning. It's a good thing he got on the bus, that's for sure. we've got a lot of guys that can step up. And, you know, that's what we kind of talked about this morning. If we get all of our guys stepping up and doing, you know, really, really bringing their A game, I mean, we can be pretty good. So, hopefully we get that tonight and we get some guys bringing it. And I think it'll be a pretty good show for the crowd. Should be, that's for sure.
Should be a heck of a ball game. And when you look at North Mac, you know that you're going to get hard-nosed pressure defense the entire 32 minutes.
No doubt about it. Yep, we definitely understand that. TJ, every one of his teams, ever since I've been coaching, that's what they bring to the table for sure. And, you know, you got a couple big kids that are pretty good too. And so that's something that we're obviously, we've obviously got to deal with the kind of team that we have. And so hopefully we can, handle the pressure defense. And guys are usually pretty good about that and being able to handle it. I mean, we do some of that stuff on our own, so we get to practice it quite a bit. And it's one of the reasons why we kind of do it, so that when you see it, you're able to execute against it and get things done that you want to get done.
Jason, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Best of luck tonight in the championship.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Have
All right.
a great day.
You too. Jason Darr, the head coach of the Southwestern Piasaw Birds, getting his team set to take on the North Mac Panthers for the 100th Macoupin County Championship.
Yes.
100 of them.
Yes. This all started back in
1919
with Benalde High School winning it. It was an invitational tournament back then, apparently. And then later on, all the county schools got involved. So it has progressed over the years and made it to 100 years. Unbelievable, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, for anything to last 100 years is amazing.
Yeah.
And obviously, anytime you can win a championship, it's a big deal. But whoever can come away with the 100th, that will have a special place.
Sure, special meaning for you because it's the century mark. So not everybody have a chance to compete you look at benchmarks, 50 years, 75 years, and 100 years. And so tonight, Southwestern and North Mac.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We hope to catch up with TJ Wilson later in the hour. We have plans to talk with Kevin Gray and Steve Woolley, who will be squaring off in the girls' championship game at the Macoupin County Tournament. Back on Sports Saturday following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tope.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. Coming up today, the Litchfield Lady Panthers have a makeup game against Roxana. This game was, of course, going to be played December 7th, but then they had a flu outbreak in Litchfield.
The flu game.
There you go, the flu game, yes.
Wow. Free flu shots at halftime?
Not quite the Jordan.
You don't think so? No. Well, not yet. They haven't played the game yet.
Yeah. Close second.
Yes, close.
Gosh. Last night at the Litchfield Invitational Tournament in the championship bracket semifinals, as I mentioned earlier, fifth-seeded Mount Zion upended top-seeded Civic Memorial 59-54, and it was Taylorville over Nokomis 74-46. So it'll be Mount Zion and Taylorville for the championship, and that'll be a 7 o'clock game tonight at Simmons. At 5:30, Nokomis will take on Civic Memorial for third. Prior to that, at 4 o'clock, Greenville takes on Hillsboro for fifth place. And at 2:30 this afternoon, Metro East Lutheran takes on Lebanon, and that's your lineup for the Litchfield Invitational Tournament.
It just seems like such a smoothly run tournament. Mm-hmm. All the teams, but the way they do it with the pool play into the brackets, it just seems to always work out as it's supposed to.
Well, and the pool play determines, what bracket you go into, which should, in theory, make games a little more competitive. And it's good on the final day and the final days of a tournament that you have competitive games. And Hillsboro and Greenville, even though this is not a conference game, they're both undefeated in conference play. So
that'll be a competitive game. The Macoupin County Championship will be a competitive game tonight between North Mac and Southwestern. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by North Mac head coach TJ Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Well, you're in another title game at the Macoupin County Tournament. You have been here before, TJ.
Yeah, we've been there a few times. It's been a while since we won it. Been there the last couple of years.
Let's talk a little bit about the game last night. I think a lot of people were expecting a closer game, but you came out and you stepped on Staunton's throat early and you never let him up.
Yeah, that was one of the things that first time we played him, we were a little shorthanded. My son couldn't play, and we weren't playing as many sophomores as we are now. And I thought if we really got up pressured him, I thought that would help us speed up the game and get the game in a full-court game, and it worked our advantage.
It really did. And you mentioned your son. What's it like coaching your son?
Oh, it's fun. It's probably more fun for me than it is him.
Yeah. Is it one of those situations where around the supper table you discuss a little basketball now and then?
No, we never bring it home.
Okay.
I never bring it home. He rides home with me every night, and we talk just a little bit about the truck, and I tell him once we're done with that, we're not going to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds like a pretty good philosophy to have.
TJ, it seems like this is the week where North Mac really gets its act together as far as playing well. You've been in championship games and won championship games in the Macoupin County Tournament. This really seems to be your week. Is it just...
Well, I think what helps us, Terry, is this works out with the schedule. We have a full week of practice before we play this tournament every year. And I think it kind of helps us just get back to basics. We weren't playing very well at Waverly, and kids weren't having much fun. I wasn't having much fun. I take that whole week and just start back like it's just like preseason again. And I think we're starting to guard a lot better since we had the week of that practice. And we're moving the ball better on offense also.
And that's always been the staple of your team, CJ, is that pressure man-to-man defense. And if a kid can't play pressure man-to-man defense, yeah, they're probably not going to play for you.
Yeah,
and we really the first 6 weeks we weren't doing that because we were only playing about six kids, and it was probably my fault. I should have probably played the sophomores a little earlier, but I thought they had to prove it in practice first, and they understood that. And since they're playing, we're playing 9 and 10 kids, and it gives the kids a break, and we can play the way I want to play. Where we want to get up and pressure the ball on every possession. And they know now if they don't get up and pressure the ball that they're going to get a rest because they're going to come and sit down.
Well, DJ, and I love you have a standard, and you don't care what the score is. You're going to play to the standard or you're not going to play. Last night, you had the game won. You put in a second unit. They turned the ball over two or three times, and you took them all out, and you had a talk with them.
Yeah, it's just, I think they were trying to go too fast there a little bit and excited to get in, but just had to calm down a little bit.
TJ, as you look or have looked at Southwestern, what are the challenges?
Well, all five starters can make a three, and that'll challenge us because our big kids got to get out and guard them. But I think hopefully it's the other way around. They got to guard us at the other end also, and I think our advantage is to take the ball to post tonight. I hope we can get it to Sam and Zane, and they can score on a block because that's what we're going to try to do.
I really started noticing Sam Mount last year. He's only listed at 6 foot, but that young man plays a lot bigger than 6 foot.
Yeah, he's got a knack that you just don't teach. He just knows how to put the ball in the basket. He uses his body really well, and he can score over bigger defenders. So one of the best games he had this year was against Pleasant Plains, and they had 6'6", 6'5". They couldn't stop him. But, him and Zane both, Zane's starting to be more aggressive. And that's why I've been on him and on him and on him. And he's just starting to take the ball to the basket. He's a good shooter also, and sometimes he relied on that too much. But he's starting to be more aggressive and get to the hole.
It's a case of having no fear, You've got to be fearless in there.
Yeah.
TJ, should be a wild atmosphere tonight. I would expect a packed house.
Yeah, I hope so. We draw pretty good crowds, but it's nothing like when you have the county at your place. I hope it's not an empty seat in the house, but we'll see.
Yeah.
TJ, I want to reminisce with you just for a moment since it's the 100th Macoupin County Tournament. I think Terry and I are in agreement here. The best end to a county final ever is the last year of Girard when Dylan Burton won the thing on a dunk.
Yeah. It was
I still remember the play because I went on Southwestern and kept driving and spinning, and I was so mad at our post players because I told them the whole game that he's going to drive and he's going to spin, and I just looked at Hunter and Dylan both and just screamed at them that if he spins, you have to be ready to step up, and he was ready, and yeah, it's quite a finish, but that also was when he sprained his ankle. Right. That hurt us for the rest of the year. It really did.
Yeah, no, it did. It had a big effect on you down the stretch. TJ Wilson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Best of luck tonight, sir.
All right, guys, thanks.
All right, TJ Wilson, the head coach of North Mac. One of the best coaches you're going to find around.
He is a terrific coach. Plays in that black and blue Sangamo Conference, and they'll be ready tonight. This has the makings of a terrific championship game matchup between Southwestern and North Mac.
Southwestern better be ready from the opening tap.
Yeah, they better.
If they're not ready from the opening tap, they might find themselves down double digits quickly.
Yeah. And TJ's always so animated. He's quite the show himself sometimes, and he's calmed down a little bit over the years, but every once in a while he'll arms will be flailing, and you know he's trying to get the point across, and his teams just this week of the season are just tend to gel. It's amazing that, you know, they play so well during this week.
When you heard him, the reason why, they always have that open week before this tournament, and it's very rare for a coach to get a full week of practice in the middle of the year. And when you're a coach like TJ and you know the points that you want to hit on and the areas where you need to improve, this is what happens.
Yeah. So should be a packed house tonight at the Macoupin County Tournament. Let's hope it's a packed house. Folks will be remiss if they don't see the 100th edition of the county tournament being determined tonight.
It's going to be like the old school convoy for Hoosiers coming up from Southwestern up Route 4 to Carlinville, through Carlinville and into Girard.
It won't be icy roads, though. That's good.
That's very good.
Yeah, be a nice night to get out. So,
but you know, from the county perspective, when they do the girls and the boys, it is always better from a crowd situation when you can have one school in both games.
Yeah, at least one school in both games. If you have both schools in both games, then you really have got something cooking.
Then you're running out of seats.
Yeah, you're running out of seats. Yeah.
Jason Darr was telling me a story earlier this week. Sean Watson, his assistant, remembered when the county was back in Bunker Hill, I think his senior year, so that would have been 90, 91, late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in that.
90.
It was at Bunker Hill. There were so many people that they had chairs set up like in the by the locker room, so they had to dress in a classroom because they couldn't get access to the locker room because there were too many people.
I didn't remember that. That's interesting. That's interesting.
So the boys game comes up at 8. The girls will tip at 6:30 with Gillespie and Southwestern. Joining us on the phone right now is Miners head coach Kevin Gray. Good morning, Kev.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good morning, Kev.
Doing all right. Hey, you've won a regional.
Gary. Yeah. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Yeah.
Kev, you've won a regional, but you have never won a Macoupin County Championship.
No, we haven't. I think we were in it maybe 4 years ago, championship game against Southwestern, so I'm excited for our girls to have another opportunity.
You have to like the way that your team has responded here since the holiday. You lost to Bunker Hill in that Carlinville Holiday Tournament, and since then you went into Hillsboro, played them tough, and you have really had a lot of impressive outings since that Holiday Tournament.
Yeah, that was sort of a turnaround point in our season. I challenged, our upperclassmen in particular. And, I thought the Greenfield game, after not playing well at all against Bunker Hill was sort of going to be, the turning point, whether we were going to lock down and, play better, or just, continue what we had been doing and searching. And, our girls really stepped up to the challenge that next game against Greenfield. I mean, we came out and just was focused. And, I know Greenfield was down because they thought, they should have been, they hit themselves, probably had disappointed in their particular holiday performance. But we won that game by 30 and had a little bit of time to prepare for Hillsboro, reestablished some roles, really, that needed to be filled. And, really from the offensive end, since we moved Paige Niemeyer out to be like a point forward situation, have just, improved dramatically offensively. We went, this is the stat, you know, I had looked at just early this morning. We went from, after Carly Carr got her ACL injury, played four games and averaged only six assists a game. And then when we inserted Paige to be like a point forward, since then we've averaged 17 and a half assists a game. And her herself has averaged five assists a game. And it's just made a world of difference. Everybody understands their roles and shot selection. It's just been a dramatic improvement.
And Kevin, people don't understand how important a team, for a team to get to that point where they understand things. And sometimes it just takes a while for it to happen.
Well, you know, I thought we sort of knew who we were. Carly, you know, spread the floor and shoot the threes. You know, I talked to Tim the other night. I mean, she's made 152 threes in her high school career, and just in her sophomore and junior year alone, you know, made 100. So we were able to score in three different ways, by 3-point shot, 2-point shot, and also from the free throw line. And, but she, you know, she got a concussion in the first game. She missed, three games after that. And of course, you know, when you come back and, you know, 2.5, 3 week layoff, you're not very good. But she had an outstanding game against Payne, and she made 5 threes prior to tearing her ACL early in the fourth quarter. And we really didn't have much time to try to make much adjustments because we were in the midst of, you know, playing. And, we just, you know, just struggled. I mean, we tried to play, somewhat similar style, but we just weren't very effective. And, you know, after the holiday tournament, we had, you know, a little bit of time to readjust and think about who we are and what we're going to do. And, you know, we've had some people step up besides, you know, Paige. I mean, she's been rock steady all year, but, you know, since the holiday tournament, Riley Jarman's averaged about 10 points a game. Emily Schmidt, you know, she had a concussion early in the year. She's really came on, made us, longer. We've also, you know, made the adjustments, defensively putting Paige on the perimeter too. She's always played pretty much the four spot defensively, and she's out on the perimeter. She's created a lot more steal opportunities, deflections. We mixed up some zone looks, and, you know, right now, you know, I mean, they're very confident in what they're doing, and, you know, it just made a world of difference in our approach to the game.
And, okay, if you had said earlier, this is probably the deepest team you've had, but depth is good, but it's always nice when more times than not you have the best player on the floor, and that has been the case more times than not with Paige Niemeyer this year.
I think so. You know, I mean, middle last year, you know, I thought she started to understand the speed of what she had to play. You know, Paige, you know, her weakness, I guess, you know, freshman sophomore, part of her junior year was, she was such a competitor that a lot of times she would try to do too much at a fast pace. And, I thought really back half of last year, she really found, you know, what speed she had to play at, to perform at her best level. And, ever since then, she's took off. I always envisioned her being this kind of player. I didn't think that her impact would be more from the perimeter aspect than she has. But, yeah, I mean, she just makes so much happen for us. But, you know, she's gained confidence in her players and her teammates. And, you know, the other night against, Staunton, I mean, she had 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 13 points. I mean, that's just a great all-around grade for anybody.
Yeah. Kev, what about Southwestern gives you pause?
You know, they're going to play hard. They're going to get after you, play defense, try to take away things that you want to do. I'm sure Steve, you know, has got a game plan. We don't know what it's going to be till, you know, the game develops, and hopefully we'll be able to make some adjustments, you know, on the fly. But you know, they understand shot selection. They want certain people taking shots. You know, they are very disciplined in running their pattern plays. But basically, I mean, they're going to play hard. And I was impressed. Saw them play half of the game against North match. Saw them play in the Carlinville game. The girls are really grinding it out defensively. And I'm sure Steve's real pleased with that.
Kevin Gray, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. Good luck tonight in your quest for the county championship, sir.
Oh, thank you, guys. We'll see you there. Appreciate it.
All right, sounds
Take
good.
Care.
Gillespie and Southwestern, yeah. 6:30 tonight for the girls' Macoupin County Championship. And when you think about girls' basketball in Macoupin County, it starts with Southwestern, obviously, and then it goes to Gillespie. And Terry, Gary asked me this last night. I didn't know the answer for sure. Gillespie's the 3, Southwestern's the 4. When's the last time, if ever, in the girls' county that one of the top 2 seeds wasn't playing for the title? It probably hasn't happened very often because of the domination of Southwestern. As I thought about it last night, I'd have to go back and look, and I forgot to do it before the show this morning. The first year the tournament was at North Mac in pool play.
Okay.
Staunton won. They might have been the 2 seed that year, but I'm pretty sure they played North Mac in the final, who had beat Southwestern in that first game.
First game.
Who would have been the top seed. So
that could be it.
That could be the year.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, the girls' tournament has always been dominated by the top seeds.
Right. Right. And Southwestern Gillespie, just, you know, the legacy of that competition between those two schools goes back years and years and years and years and years. And it usually is a rather entertaining game. So
we hope to catch up with Steve Woolley here in a couple of moments on WSMI Sports Saturday. But when you think about Steve Woolley and the dominating run that he has had with the Piasaw Birds, I mean, it's staggering, really, to think about the success that they've had. And it's not like they were really ever getting challenged, necessarily. I mean, it was runaway.
There were years, though, that Gillespie
had
some terrific teams and were able to pull out wins at the Macoupin County tournament. But if you look back, if you had to pick the one dominant team, Southwestern would be that team. And, you know, they just, we kind of kid about it, but Southwestern, you know, they do what they do, and we don't care what kind of record they have. It doesn't make a bit of difference. When it comes to tournament week, they usually are pretty much ready to go, and, you know, watch out.
Well, I think when Maddie Greeling and her crew graduated, I think kind of the common thought amongst a lot of people
was,
we
got a break, right?
Southwestern's going to be down.
Yeah.
No. Not so fast.
Until you rip it out of their hands, you know. It's one of these situations that Southwestern's still kind of the team to beat, and you're going to have to rip it away from them. So.
They're used to the big games and the big moments. Think about two years ago when they played Mount Olive in that county final at Southwestern. Mount Olive arguably might have had the better team that year, but they got put in their place that night by Steve Woolley and the Birds on Southwestern's home floor.
Yeah, so, you know, person for person, you're probably right. You know, different talent level. But then it's a team effort there with Southwestern. And that's the thing about Steve Woolley's teams. They're usually so, you know, they're well-educated as far as what they want to do on a given night. And they're able to make some slight adjustments when they need to do that. And the thing that Kevin Gray pointed out is they play so doggone hard. I mean, they're in your face as soon as you come to the mid-court stride. So.
Well, I remember that, there's never a free trip up the floor. If you're handling the ball against Southwestern, you're going to have someone on you the entire night.
You know, you want to start your offense there at the top of the key, not at half court.
But that,
you know, Southwestern forces you to start it at half court. And, you know, that just puts the team into a tough situation.
So we haven't talked about this on the air, but, of course, you're an IBCA Hall of Famer. Yeah. Steve Woolley, soon to join the club.
Yeah. Congratulations to Steve. He deserves it. Well-deserved. And we've been saying it for years. He's future Hall of Famer, and he will be inducted into the IBCA Hall of Fame coming up in May. That'll be the banquet, and Steve certainly deserves it. He's put together a heck of a program, won a ton of games, and when you look back on the legacy of Southwestern basketball and girls basketball, man, it's about time they put him in.
I just picture like every coach in the county, like having a calendar, just counting the days till he retires.
Yeah.
Just mark him off.
Yeah, well, he's not going to retire yet, folks. I tell you, he's going to be around for a few more years, I suspect. So.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, thank you very much, David Jenkins, back here on Sports Saturday. And My voice is going, Terry. I just need it for 12 more hours.
Just 12 more
12
hours.
12 more hours is all I need.
Keep sucking those cough drops, buddy.
Ricola.
And coffee, you know, that'll help you. That'll help you.
I'm guzzling.
Yeah,
I'm guzzling.
Hey, we're going to have four games on the radio beginning this afternoon at 4 o'clock with the fifth place game from the Litchfield Invitational Tournament as Greenville takes on Hillsboro. That ought to be a heck of a matchup this afternoon.
And then, of course, they'll have the regular season matchup next week.
Next week, and that'll be on the radio as well next Friday evening from Greenville High School. And then after that, we will switch the venue to the Macoupin County Tournament with the Girls and Boys Championship games at 6:30 and 8 o'clock, respectively, with Southwestern taking on Gillespie and the girls, and Southwestern taking on North Mac and the boys. And then we'll top off the evening with the Nokomis Civic Memorial game from Litchfield, and that will be for third place. So,
Terry, I just got to say, this is always a very good week for WSMI because we get to do a bunch of basketball. But this year is clearly special because it marked your return to the microphone calling high school basketball. And I know everyone across the listening area is very happy that you are back on the saddle.
Well, it's good to be back, and it's good to be in the gymnasiums. That's the best office we've ever had, and it's a fun week of basketball, especially when you get to the end of the week where, you know, you get really more of the traditional good matchups. And of course, championship night. There's nothing like championship night, whether it's Litchfield and Macoupin County Tournament Week or Regional Tournament Week. By the way, a week from today, we're going to have girls' regional pairings. So that's how close we're getting to the postseason. This is crazy, man. This is crazy.
It is. Drew Logan's joining us on the phone right now. Of course, he's the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, and the 51st Litchfield Invitational will wrap up today. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing very well. Maybe not the championship game you thought coming in, but it's going to be a good one.
You know, it's one of those when you started actually seeing the teams. You know, obviously, you look at who beat who early in the year and seeing them beating Taylorville. Taylorville beating Mount Zion twice. You know, Taylorville beating Nokomis. So you kind of base your seeds on that, and then once you get all of these teams in the gym and see them playing. You know, kind of the feeling from myself and coaches and the athletic director, we kind of felt like this possibly could have been the matchup between Taylorville and Mount Zion if both of them played well throughout the tournament.
Drew, I always liked this tournament because of the format of it, but it does seem to me that this tournament consistently gets seeded properly.
Yeah, I mean, it is. When you get the seeding sheet, it's always really interesting because you know, you've got teams from all over the place some that don't ever see each other, until they get here. You know, so it is difficult to see, but same thing I told our kids last night when we're playing in the ninth place game. You know, people were asking, oh, you're in the ninth place record. I go, we were seeded ninth. I mean, we're playing where we're supposed to be playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately we weren't able to come out on top, but, you know, like I said, as we talked throughout the week, I mean, I think the seeds are going to come out pretty close. You know, maybe Mount Zion was seeded a little bit lower than what they had been, but at that point, their record wasn't quite what, you know, maybe what they had expected it to be.
But realistically, they probably weren't going to get over CM Taylorville or Nokomis, and then 4 or 5, it doesn't really matter too much.
No, once you get down to 4 or 5, you know, you're usually, it usually from 4 or 5 to usually 7, 8, 9, you know, the teams can all kind of vary. I know there's been numerous years that I've been at Litchfield, and Nokomis has been seated low, and ended up in the title game. So, it, you know, it all kind of works itself out. And, you know, like I said, I think we've got a great day of basketball ahead of us.
Certainly the speed of the game is a little bit faster with Mount Zion and Taylorville.
That may be an understatement. I said watch those two teams play, and I mean, you know, I was talking to Taylorville's coach prior to their game last night, you know, and he had talked about a couple things. He said, we got to force turnovers and we got to hit shots. And, you know, unfortunately I didn't get to see the game, but it sounded like based on the score that may have happened. And, you know, Mount Zion plays at a speed that, you know, we always talk about it with our kids. It forces you to speed up, and they're trying to force turnovers. I mean, they're trying to get you to play faster than you're capable of playing. And, you know, the thing is, they can do it and still be in position on their rotations and not get beat to the basket. So, fun to watch.
It'll be an entertaining championship game tonight at the Litchfield Invitational. And, Drew, you mentioned you guys finished 10th, but I would think that you still have to be happy with where your club is at from where they were a year ago at this time.
Yeah, I mean, we've doubled our win total since last year, so that's obviously something to be happy about. We're still really challenging the kids because, you know, as we kind of said, I mean, I tell the kids I'm pretty realistic when I talk to them, and you know, when I tell them, hey man, we do these things, you guys have a shot. I said I believe it. I don't say it just to say it, and I felt like we had a couple games in this tournament that if we would have played a little bit more consistent, we could have came out with wins, but. At the same time, I also feel like we're in a much better spot than we were a year ago, and that leads into some games at the end of the year that, you know, we have some games we can compete. We have some games that we know are going to be tough, and then, you know, you head into the postseason.
But this is such a great tournament. I just really like the format where you've got the 3A schools all the way down to the 1A schools. You know, there's just no other tournament in the state that does this.
No, and you know, and I always talked to the kids about this a few times since I've been in Litchfield. You know, when I was at Mount Olive coaching, and you know, you had the county tournament, and that was a big tournament, and I always really enjoyed it. And I said, you know, there's a tournament going on down the road that I had no idea about. And you know, I get to Litchfield, and I show up at the first seating meeting, and I'm looking at a bunch of coaches I don't know, and I'm looking at teams that I'm not familiar with, and then you start seeing the style of play, the level of play. You see 1A teams competing with 3A teams, and it's a great tournament from top to bottom. And you know, I think we had 12 teams this year that really competed.
Yeah. Drew, will it be the same 12 next year?
As far as I know, we have not had anybody. We've had the last couple of years, we've had people asking to get in, so I don't think we've got anybody with the intention of getting out. You know, and unfortunately, I don't think they would notify us at this point, but. I don't see any reason why it's going to change before next year.
It's a good mix.
You know, from our standpoint, we're very happy with the field.
Yeah, good mix, absolutely. Yeah,
Drew, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Congratulations on another well-run Litchfield Invitational.
Thanks, guys.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And, yeah, when you got teams asking to get in,
yeah,
you're probably not going to have many teams saying, nah, we want out.
Yeah, you know, that's a sign of a good tournament. And I've said for years this is probably one of the best in-season tournaments, not only in Central Illinois, but in the state because of the makeup where you do have the smaller schools like Lebanon and Nokomis competing against the 3A schools. And, you know, oftentimes they don't win, but the fact of the matter is they get a chance to play teams they don't normally see. And that's an advantage, you know. Hillsboro-Litchfield for years would play 4 and 5 times a season. Now you get an opportunity to see teams and play teams that you don't normally get to see except during the Litchfield tournament.
And they've had a pretty good crowd turnout, it seems, from the teams outside of the immediate area. Like Taylorville, I know, brings a good crowd down.
There was a terrific crowd last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Civic Memorial typically does. Metro East Lutheran has brought a good crowd. I mean, from outside the area, they've had pretty good crowds. So.
Question is, can they make it 49 more years and turn 100?
Well,
that's a long way away.
They're going to try, but you do that one year at a time.
The only way to do it, one year at a time.
A couple generational changes right there.
There's no way there were some old school boys standing around in 1919 in Chesterfield saying, you know what, in 100 years, this baby's still going to be cooking.
That's right. Hey, and, you know, one thing we probably need to mention, Tim, no matter what tournament it is, and we you know, going all the way back to the turkey tournaments and the Christmas tournaments and such, it takes a huge number of volunteers to get these tournaments run. You know, the schools, officials, you know, athletic directors, coaches, and school personnel all involved, but they still depend on so many volunteers to run the tournament. You know, the job that the athletic director has to do. I was talking with Pat Rentz earlier this week, during halftime of one of the games, and he was mentioning, well, you know, you got to have 72 officials. And you know, to run the tournament. And, you know, this is something that you work on basically year round, to make sure that you've got everything lined up.
Well, Chris Rander got thrown right into the deep end of the pool his first year as athletic director hosting the county, but North Mac has done a fabulous job in hosting the 100th installment. And I got to give a special shout out to Dina Roller.
Yeah.
Dina's taking care of the hospitality room, and it's like a smorgasbord of delicious homemade treats in there. But that's just for the media and the coaches. She also sings the national anthem, a beautiful a cappella version, and she's the official scorekeeper.
There you go.
Busy lady.
Yes, busy lady. And
talented.
Carol Burke does, you know, the scoreboard and scorebook at Litchfield, and she could also sing the national anthem if need be.
In
record time. I tell you what, it zips right along.
That's right.
You know, that's a good version of the anthem.
What was the over-under?
I don't know. I never actually took.
I would say about 75 seconds.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Can't be any longer than that.
That's what I would say.
She gets through it. Well, she has to get back to the scores table.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who was the, was it Christina? No, it wasn't Christina Aguilera. Somebody in the Super Bowl 3 years ago, because they always do the over-under for the anthem, they forgot a whole line of the song.
Oh, yeah.
She repeated a line, like, because she forgot it.
Somebody actually just skipped an entire line.
She didn't skip it. She repeated a line because she forgot what it was. And If you weren't paying attention, you didn't notice, but...
I don't know how people sing that song.
Yeah.
It's such a hard song to sing. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Well, Luke Bryan got called out at the baseball All-Star game a few years ago because he had the words written on his arm or his hand or something.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either.
I'd have a piece of paper out there.
Football players have plays on their arm.
Good point.
Come on. Well,
yeah.
You know, what are you complaining about this for,
come
guys?
On.
Yeah. Jeez.
Like, anybody who has a problem with that, okay.
Yeah.
You go stand out in front of 50,000 people, and you sing the song from memory.
You
know, See how that works out for you.
And you got 22 million people watching on TV.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, don't tell me you wouldn't have crib notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man.
Hey,
so.
I know you guys have been wondering about this, but the Coal Mine Crazies have announced that their theme tonight is Blackout.
Blackout, all right. Okay, cool.
As long as they don't bring baby powder.
Yeah, they won't.
I don't think so.
But they'll have a rousing crowd there. The Coal Mine Crazies are fun to watch.
This is going to be a great atmosphere. Yeah. And you better get there early tonight. Yeah. I have a feeling this gym is going to be standing room only by the time we get to our championship game.
This will be a great night of basketball, both at the Macoupin County Tournament and at the Litchfield Tournament as well.
There's a good chance that Southwestern will fill up half the gym.
Oh, yeah.
North Mac's going to fill up probably half the gym. So everybody else.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
We'll have it on FM 106.
And we're going to stream it online as well at WSMIRadio.com. By the way, all the games have been podcasted this week thus far, so they're available on the website, and you can give a listen at your leisure. So,
Terry, you will be at the county tonight.
Yep.
You will have the call of the 100th boys' final.
Now, I did my first Macoupin County basketball tournament broadcast in 1979.
Wow.
And I've done a lot
Where
of
was that one at?
That was at Carlinville.
At Carlinville.
That was the single elimination back then.
That was the last year when there was no girls' tournament.
Yeah, and then they went to the girls' tournament and the brackets and everything and increased it to like 23 games or something during that 8-day span. So, but done a lot of games from the county tournament, a lot of championship games from the Coupon County tournament. So, still Dylan Burton Slam.
Oh.
It's probably the one that just
stands out,
you know, because he sprained his ankle at the jump ball. And then, you know, makes the steal and goes down and slams it home for the win for Girard.
I remember that night you had the call. I was down on the floor with the wireless mic to do the post game. I literally thought the gym was going to come down.
Yeah.
The stage was shaking.
Yeah.
Girard was on the stage, their fans. It was literally shaking.
It was, you know, it was a Hollywood script type ending.
Yeah, you can't make that up.
You can't make it up, and that's why the best reality TV, the best reality radio is high school sports, because you never know what's going to happen. You can see it all you want, but until they play the ball games, and this is, you know, a lot of people ask me about stats and such, and I don't use many stats because stats are misleading sometimes. You know, what have you done for me tonight? That's what sports is all about. What have you done for me tonight?
I remember when I first started here, I was talking to you about wanting to get stats and incorporate them into ball games, and you said just that, and you told me, what do you shoot in the last minute of a tie ball game?
Yeah.
What's your free throw percentage then? That's
what
matters. And then, it made sense to me, but a couple weeks ago when we were in Nokomis, when they were honoring the back-to-back state champions, they were playing your highlight calls, which gave me chills and goosebumps the entire time that they were rolling on a loop. But during that run, Nokomis made a number of clutch free throws.
Yeah. That's when stats count.
Right.
And you know, Nokomis blew out teams for so many years there, and making free throws in the fourth quarter with a 35-point lead means nothing.
That's easy.
You know, what are you doing at Redbird Arena?
Right.
That's what counts, you know, that sort of thing. So that's, stats are one thing, but they can be very misleading. And that's why I really don't use them, because it's what have you done for me tonight? That's what sports is all about, you know. Did you step up tonight?
Paige Niemeyer's had a great season.
Yeah.
None of it matters.
No. What are you going to do tonight, Paige? You know, that's the Miners are going to count on her to lead the way, and Southwestern's going to do everything they can come up with to, you know, make sure she doesn't score. There's the battle right there. That's why they play the ball game. That's why we do it on the radio, because we know it's going to be a great matchup. So
it's going to be a fun night.
Oh, it's going to be a fun night. This is one of the fun, really fun nights of high school sports when we have championship nights.
And four games in the radio today. Yeah. Hillsboro Greenville live at 4 o'clock for fifth place at the Litchfield Invitational. The girls and boys championship games from the 100th Macoupin County Tournament will begin at 6:30. Girls title, Gillespie against Southwestern. The boys championship at 8 has North Mac against Southwestern, both live on FM 106. And then at 9:30, we will have the third place broadcast from Litchfield with Nokomis and CM. All four games on FM 106. All four online at WSMIRadio.com. Terry, take us home.
Hey, it's a great day for basketball, so make sure you attend or tune in here on FM 106. That's it for Sports Saturday. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to all of our coaches for joining us this morning. Make sure you tune in beginning at 4 o'clock this afternoon here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois and the home of the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament and the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. Have a great sporting weekend.